श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभिश्चकृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण। सो बिफोर आई बिगिन आई वुड लाइक टू एक्सप्रेस माय हार्टफेल्ट ग्रेटिट्यूड टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ Godhead, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Gopal Gaurnitai, for engaging me in his service at this community. I would like to express my gratitude to the wonderful devotee, my spiritual master, for accepting me as his disciple and engaging me in his service. I would also like to express my gratitude to all the senior devotees and the management of this festival, Prerana Festival, for giving me this opportunity to serve in this way by giving a talk here. I would like to extend my heartfelt gratitude to all the guests who are here. Even though I am a little embarrassed to be speaking here today because the topic is a little sensitive and I did not know that there would be elders also and especially there will be ladies because the topic is a little sensitive today. So I will have to bear with me because certain issues which are generally not discussed. I thought it was going to be an exclusively youth program. So the... I can speak freely, things which, but anyway, I make a disclaimer that I thought it was a youth program, and And then I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the guests, the students who have come here today, despite their busy schedule. They are in the preparatory leaves right now. You have taken out time to come here today to participate in this festival. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So the topic today I'm going to speak on is bound to be free. Now, the topic titled bound to be free, if you see, it's kind of an oxymoron. There are apparently, you know what's an oxymoron? It's a figure of speech where there are apparently contradictory words. So they're used to convey a meaning. Like bound to be free. How can you be bound and how can you be free? There are other examples also, like we say, do you have the original copy of your birth certificate. Is it original or is it a copy? What is it? If it's original, it can't be a copy, and if it's a copy, it cannot be original. Right? Or like we say that there was a Great Depression in America. It's a great and there's a depression. So there are so many such, and we say, pretty ugly. These words are pretty ugly. And so they are oxymorons. And also Prabhupada uses this word, the regulative principles of freedom. Another oxymoron. How can you be regulated and how you can be free at the same time? How you can be restricted and you can be free at the same time? Oxymoron. So that's how I chose my the title of the topic today, Bound to be Free. Because it is an apparent contradiction, but it is not really a contradiction. Because restriction is not always opposed to freedom. It's not always. It's a mistaken idea to think that if there is a restriction, it is an obstruction or opposed to freedom. It is not like that. For example, if there are children at home, and we know we were all kids and our parents told us, you know, don't play too much, come back at 7 o'clock, and they restrict our playing. Now we may perceive that as a restriction to freedom, but actually it is not. Because we know that if we become responsible, we study properly and we regulate our playing and study time properly, then we can actually be free to choose our career and, you know, make life's decision in a better way. And therefore, when we are restricted, when our playing is restricted, it is not necessarily an obstruction to freedom. Is it not? So, and therefore, the topic I chose today here is because when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are told to follow certain principles. Don't do this, don't do that. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And then this is the beginning. And then there are so many other rules. Wo bhi mat khao, wo bhi mat khao. पिक्चर मत देखो फालतू में इधर उधर टाइम पास मत करो एंड सो मेनी सच लिस्ट इज बिग एंड वी मे थिंक दैट व्हाट इज दिस नीड सो मेनी रूल्स एंड रेगुलेशंस सो वी फील अ काइंड ऑफ रिस्ट्रिक्शन एंड मेनी टाइम्स पीपल आर अफ्रेड आई वाज अफ्रेड व्हेन आई केम टू स्पिरिचुअलिटी मीन्स फॉर मी इट वाज वेरी आई फेल्ट इट वाज वेरी डिफिकल्ट बिकॉज देर आर सो मेनी रूल्स एंड रेगुलेशंस सो वी मे बी अफ्रेड. So this seminar today, which I'm just giving an introduction basically, I would just like to give an introduction, just tell you what I'm going to speak on. I'll just give you an introduction and then there will be introduction to the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Then I will be giving some statistics which will probably help you to overcome the fear of all those rules, especially the four main rules in Krishna consciousness that you hear about, which means that the four: meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. Okay, so basically, as I was explaining, that we need to be told off sometimes, we need to be checked, and it is necessary always. Example is given that once one lady, she adopted a child, बच्चे को गोद ले लिया और उन्होंने सोचा कि ठीक है that this small child, I should give a lot of love to the child, I should not scold him. So she never scolded the child and the child grew up to become aggressive, disobedient, and he started doing nasty things, started stealing, started taking drugs and doing all kind of criminalistic activities, but the mother did not stop him from doing anything. She always agreed to whatever he wanted to do. Finally, he ended up in big trouble murdering somebody and he was sentenced to death by hanging. And the executioner asked him that, what is your last wish? And he said, yes, I want to meet my mother before I die. And he was standing there waiting to be executed, and his mother came with tears in her eyes, and she said, what can I do for you, my son, before dying? So the son says, I want to speak to you something in your ears. And she came close, and guess what he did when she came close? He wanted to whisper something in her ears, and he bit off her ears. Kaan ko kaat diya. And she started screaming, and she started saying, what have you done? And she said, I was so angry with you, because I am standing here because of you. She said, why? I always supported you. I always gave you so much love. She said, but one thing you did not do. You didn't tell me. You didn't stop me when I was doing the wrong things. Therefore, this is my situation, because you didn't tell me what is right and what is wrong. You did not chastise me, you didn't beat me, even though it is difficult to sometimes tell the children what they should be doing, to correct them, because children generally don't like correction. But still, the mother has to do it. And she didn't do it, so the child was very angry because he ended up in that situation. So, many times restriction is not opposed to freedom. It's not opposed. We need to be corrected. We need to be told. And therefore we see that the sages, the great sages, Veda Vyas is given so many Vedic literatures in order to tell us what we should be doing, what we should not be doing. So our basic Krishna consciousness philosophy tells us that we are all living in a world which is compared to a jail. We are imprisoned. Many times this world is compared to a jail. Why? There are many things common to a jail and this material world. One thing is that in a jail people are restricted. Their freedom is restricted. And in this world also, the Vedic literature says that the soul's freedom is restricted. Restricted by what? Restricted by the laws of birth, old age, disease and death. Everybody is born, everybody has to die. Gita says, Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmad tvam parihariyarte natvam shochitam arhasi. That everybody who is born will have to die. This is an imposition upon the soul who by nature is deathless. Sat Chittana Ananda. He doesn't have to die. He's Sat, he's eternal. His chit is full of knowledge. His ananda, his pleasure seeking. But this imposition is on him in this world, and therefore it is compared to a jail. And how can he come out of this jail? By taking shelter. How will a prisoner get out of the jail? By agreeing to follow the rules of the state. He is in the jail because he is denied, or he is opposed to the laws of the state. Therefore he is put into the jail. And there he is forced, by force he is following the rules of the jail. But when he agrees to follow the rules of the state, he is out. So the choice is not whether he wants to follow the rules or not. The choice is which rule he wants to follow and how he wants to follow it. Either by force or by choice. So who is making the rules of this world? Vedic literature says that Shri Krishna is making the rules of this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Varnashrama Charavataha Purushena Paraha Puman Vishnu Aradhyate Pantha Na Anyat Tattosha Karanam. That the goal of human society, human beings, is to develop that affection for God, for Krishna. Engage in the service of God and attain liberation from this cycle of birth and death. And Chanakya says, if he is not willing to follow the rules of God, if he is not willing to follow the rules of Dharma, laid down by Sri Krishna, Chanakya says, Aranitra bhai maithunam cha samanyam etat pashubir naranam dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesho dharma vihina pashubir samanam. That if there is no dharma in human society, then the humans are as good as animals. As good as animals. I'm giving an introduction. To the topic. So therefore, the animals don't know anything. They just, something, desire comes in their heart and they do it. But human beings have the power to think before they do. Therefore, we don't agree with Nike when they put that sticker on their t-shirts. Just do it. We are not in for that. Just think. Then next, the advertisement was, just did it. Just did it, and then the third should be, just suffer it. Just do it, just did it, then just suffer it. So you have to think before you do. So dharma has to be followed. And therefore dharma has got four pillars. And that is, satya, tapa, daya and shaucham. Satya means truth. So, it comes from the word satya, which comes, sat means eternal. Satya means truth. Sat means unchanging. Therefore, our philosophy is based on truth. What you hear here is the truth. Therefore, Bhagavad begins with that. Janmad asya yaton vayad itaratah charteshu avigyah swarad tene brahmaridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yat surayah tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatritri sargo mrisha dhamna svena sadane rastakuhakam satyam param dhimahi. That the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the satya, param satya. There is truth in this world also, but it is changing truth. Like if I ask you what's the time, you may say it is 10 to 8. If I ask you after 10 minutes, you will say it is 8. So what is truth? It has changed. What was truth 10 minutes ago is not truth right now. If I ask you what's your age, you will say it is 28. After 4 years, I ask you it is 32. So truth changes in this world. But param sat never changes. The soul never changes. The Lord never changes. Our relationship with God never changes. And therefore religion is based on truth. Satya, truthfulness. And therefore even our get-togethers are called as satsanga. Satyasya sanga iti satsanga. Connection with the truth. This is a place where you hear the truth, the reality of life. What you see in billboards, what you see in televisions, what you hear in the radios is not necessarily the truth. What you read in your history books, not necessarily the truth. Now, when you read Indian history, you may read that how Britishers were so cruel when they came to India. But if you go to UK and you read the British history, you may read that how the Britishers gave culture to the tribal people of India. History varies from where you go and study. Who is telling the truth? How will you know? Bhagavatam speaks the truth. Gita speaks the truth. The sages speak the truth. So our dharma is based on truth. If there is no truth, there is no discussion further. Second is tapa. Austerity. Therefore, we come here with the mood to be, to do what it takes to learn, to be enlightened. Our programs is that of enlightenment. We come here to get enlightened. It is enlightenment, not entertainment. We may be entertained, that's okay, but that's not the main goal. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, idam tena tapaskaya na abhaktaya kadachana. Nacha shushrushave vacham, nacha mam yobhyasujate. Don't give the knowledge of the Gita to those who are not tapasvis, who are not austere. Don't give this knowledge to those people who are not devotees. Don't give this knowledge to those people who are not connected to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the philosophy. Don't give this knowledge to those people who may be envious of me. So there are some qualifications required. So therefore, austerity, tapasya. Kuch tapasya karna padega na? Niche baithna aasan nahi hai. Chair pe baithte to kitna acha hota. Thoda gadda to bichha dete. It's difficult. I know it's not easy to sit down. Tapasya. Then mercy, daya. What is the difference between a butcher and a sage? It is daya. You put daya into the heart of a butcher, he becomes a sadhu. Take it out from him, he becomes a butcher. Daya. Cleanliness. So, we always keep thinking, everybody likes cleanliness. Krishna is makhan chur. Why makhan? Why likes makhan? Because it is very soft. Daya means it makes the heart soft, like butter. So Krishna likes butter, so he comes. And it should be clean, so then also he comes. So therefore, heart which is soft, like a ground, you can compare the heart with a ground, like a field. When the field is too hard, what do? You plow it and make it soft. And then in that soft field, a plant can grow. Right? So the heart has to be made soft. And the heart has to be cleaned of the weeds. Dirty things has to be taken out. There's dirt, you cannot. There's a story of a lady, she was complaining to her husband, always. Hey, look at that neighbor. Kapde sukha rahi hai, kitna ganda to dekho. Dhone ke baad bhi kitni gandagi hai kapdo mein. Every day she used to complain. Husband said, acha. One day he did one thing. Husband came and cleaned the glass of that window. She was seeing the clothes through the glass. Her glass of her window was dirty. So she was thinking all those clothes put there were dirty. If your heart is dirty, you'll find dirt everywhere. Is it not? You know what is Limburger cheese? Limburger. It's a cheese, very delicious, but when it's hot, it's nice. But when it becomes cold, it starts smelling. One man ate cheese and he was going around and he was finding the whole damn world is smelling. Then somebody told him, there is a piece of Limburger cheese stuck on your moustache. And he's thinking, it's smelling everywhere. There's dirt here, take it out. So dharma rests on these four principles. Satya, tapa, daya and shauch. If these four things are not there, then there is no dharma. There cannot be dharma. And therefore the Bhagavad begins with that story of Parikshit Maharaj when he's moving around in the forest and he finds a man who's dressed in black, dressed as a king, and he's breaking the legs of a cow. He's being cruel to a cow and a bull. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately takes out his sword ready to kill this man. And he stops him and he says, who the hell are you? What are you doing here? You're dressed up as a king but your activities are just like a criminal. Like a terrorist, you deserve to be murdered, you deserve to be killed. And he took out a sword. Parikshit Maharaj was a very powerful king. That this man dressed in black, immediately he understood that it is no point in fighting with him. This Parikshit Maharaj immediately surrendered to him and introduced himself as Kali. I am Kali and it is my time for me to come. So therefore I please request you to give me shelter. I am taking a shelter. Give me some place where I can live. Parikshit Maharaj says, all right, since you have taken my shelter, I'll give you four places to live. And he says, Abhyarthitas tadatasmai sthanani dadaye kalau dyutam panam striyasuna yatra dharmas chaturvedha. So he gives him four places to live. Wherever there is meat eating, wherever there is illicit sex, wherever there is gambling, and wherever there is intoxication. These four places were given to him. But then Kali saw that these four places don't exist in the kingdom of Parikshit Maharaj, because he was so righteous. So he requested for another place to live. And then Parikshit Maharaj told him, alright, punascha yachamanaya jatrupam adat prabhu tato nritam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam. The fifth place was given to him. Wherever there is gold which is kept, gold which has been earned by illicit means, by giving trouble to others, there you can live. And immediately, Kali, what is the symptom of Kali? It is explained here. Kali, tato nritam madam kamam. That means wherever there is gold, Kali will live. And what is the symptom of Kali? Nritam madam kamam. There will be falsity, cheating, there will be intoxication, there will be lust, there will be envy, and there will be enmity. That is a symptom of Kali Yuga. So he immediately entered into the crown, because Parikshit Maharaj is wearing a crown of gold. And where did he get this crown from? He got it from the treasury house of his kingdom. His forefathers had told him, don't go there. It was the crown which was kept, which had been acquired by defeating many kings. And it is said that he was wearing the crown of Jarasandha, who had acquired gold and many other things by giving trouble to many people. So immediately Kali took possession of his crown and affected him. His mind went crazy and he insulted a sadhu. Sadhu cursed him that you will be dying in 7 days, 7 nights. And eventually Kali took its position. And do you know that we are in which age? There are four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. We are in which age? But for your information, Kali has not yet begun. According to the Shastra, this is not really Kali. Kali, Sandhya is going on. Just like when a day begins, Sandhya period is there, morning time, before the day begins. So, 4,27 years, 32,000 years is the age of Kali Yuga. But in the beginning, there is 36,000 years of Kali Sandhya. End is also 36,000 years of Kali Sandhya. Out of which 5,000 years are gone. That means 31,000 years still Kali Sandhya is left. So we are 5,000 years down in the Kali Sandhya period. So this is the age of choral hypocrisy. So many troubles. So now, there is another story in the Devi Bhagavat Purana. What is this Kali? How did it come in these four places? There is a story of how once Chavan Muni had a fight with Indra. Indra ke saath Chavan Muni ka chagda ho gaya. Indra banished the Ashwini Kumaras from heaven and restricted him from drinking Soma. They were removed from the entitlement of getting the Havish from the Yajnas. Eventually, one day when Chavan Rishi was doing the Yajna, he gave Soma from his Yajna to Ashwini Kumaras. Indra became very upset with him and immediately he threw a thunderbolt at Chavan Rishi for going against his command. But Chavan Rishi was such a powerful sage, he immediately used his mystic power to freeze the hand of Indra. Indra couldn't move his arm. He surrendered. And Chavan Rishi produced a demon, a huge demon to attack Indra. Indra realized, I cannot fight with Chavan Rishi. So he again bowed down and begged for forgiveness. So Chavan Rishi, he took the demon, that huge demon which was created by him, and tore him up into four places and threw, and that fell into those, and those four places wherever there are these four things taking place. Meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. So wherever these four things are going on, it is said that there will always be inauspiciousness, misery, problems. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, 11th text, there is this verse where it is explained that every living being in this material world, the conditioned soul is always inclined to sex, meat eating and intoxication. Therefore, religious scriptures never actually encourage such activities, although the scriptural injunctions provide for sex through sacred marriage, for meat eating through sacrificial offerings, and for intoxication through the acceptance of ritual cups of wine. Such ceremonies are meant for the ultimate purpose of renunciation. So when we tell people that why do you eat meat, some people who eat meat, we tell them don't eat meat, and they say, but Vedo mein likha hai. It's right. Vedo mein likha hai. As it is here, it is explained. So there are these four actions, meat eating or sex life or intoxication, and they have been mentioned in the Vedas. They can be done. But there are restrictions. Why are they there in the Vedas? Why have they been mentioned that people can do this? It is explained that the Vedas have mentioned it, not to promote it, but to control it. It is a license, it is not an encouragement. And when do you give a license? Why do you give a license? It's not for encouragement. It is for control. It is for regulation. Is it not? It is to supervise the consumption. License you give, not to encourage. So therefore, the Vedas, the Shastras, the Rishis, they know that the living beings, they have this propensity that if we do not allow them, they will anyway do it. So therefore, we give them the credit of following the Vedas, but we give them certain rules and regulations by which they will follow, and at the same time that sinful habits are controlled, eventually they will become free of those bad habits. So there are many rules which are being mentioned. So it is a license, it is not a promotion, it is a restriction, it is a regulation, and it is for the purpose of supervision. Supervision. And therefore, if you see the rules and regulations for those things, in the purport, Prabhupada explains, those who are mad after meat eating, for example, are instructed to perform Vedic ceremonies by which they are permitted to consume the five types of five clawed animals. They can eat. If meat eaters want to eat, then they should eat these five kind of animals. What are they? Rhinoceros. The turtle, the rabbit, porcupine and lizard. Similarly, the consumption of specific liquors is allowed during highly restricted sacrifices performed on specific days of the year at great expense. So when you do those sacrifices, very expensive, that a person may feel, just forget it, it's too expensive. Why to do it in the first place? So these are the regulations. So, therefore, there is hope, and therefore, it may be sounding difficult. Oh, these rules, oh, they sound impossible to follow. Prabhupada went to the West and he told, in UK, he met one very, very well-known, renowned person, and he told them, he started speaking Krishna conscious philosophy, and that man told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, make me a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, surely, follow these four principles, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And he said, what? Impossible. These four things? Not possible. It is a part of our culture. I gave this talk in Nasik about 6, 7, 8 months ago, and there was a person from Germany, he had come to India for some cultural exchange and study. So he came and told me, what you told, four things not to do, that we do every day in Germany. It's a part of life. So, it's a strange concept for me. So, but Prabhupada, he demonstrated that by the power of association, by the power of the holy name, it is possible. In fact, the discussion that Parikshit Maharaj allowed Kali to enter, he should have killed him. People ask, why did Parikshit Maharaj allow Kali to come when he knew that he will be such a nuisance in this world? He should have killed him there and there. But then the Vedas explain, Shastra Bhagavatam explains, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hi okon mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sanga param rajet. That even though Kali Yuga has so many faults, but there is one great advantage in the age of Kali Yuga, that kirtanad eva krishnasya, that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, in the association of devotees, one can very easily give up the bad habits. And our life in Krishna consciousness, it is not about giving up, it's about accepting. When you accept, there's no room for the negative things. We don't focus so much on giving up, we focus on taking up. Accept, accepting the good things. And the best thing that you can accept is this Kirtana, the Kirtan, as in the association of devotees, which will give us the power, a power which is beyond us, which will help us to overcome the addictions to these sinful habits. And therefore, Prabhupada, when he took his disciples to America, there was one Mr. Mishra, who used to teach yoga to the Americans at that time. He invited Prabhupada and his American disciples to his house. When Prabhupada came, he offered them tea. And Prabhupada said, I don't drink tea. And he offered tea to his disciples. And the disciples says, we also don't drink tea. He says, you don't drink tea. You have given up tea also. You don't eat meat. That is all right. But you have given up tea. That is superb. How did you do that, Swamiji? I was afraid that if I tell people about these four regulative principles, people will not come to listen to me. But Prabhupada demonstrated that it is very easy by the process of chanting Hare Krishna in the association. It is not very difficult. So, now, that was the introduction. And now, what I will do in the forthcoming discussion, I will be giving you the statistics about the problems in this world that come about because of not following these principles. What are the problems? When we actually see what are the problems, it gives us more courage. Certainly chanting is the process to overcome all the problems, but still, hearing about what are the problems going on in the society will give us some strength. So first we will begin with meat eating. Now, I have more or less spoken the philosophy in a nutshell, but right now I will not focus so much on the Siddhanta, but we will speak a little bit on health and other issues. So what are the main disadvantages of meat? We'll be taking four disadvantages. It causes heart disease. Secondly, it increases the risk of cancer. Third, it is a major cause of world starvation. And fourth, it is a major cause of world pollution. Researchers have done research to find out that the Finns, the people living in Finland, who consumed the most meat, had the highest death rate from heart disease. Second were the Americans, except for the Seventh-day Adventists, most of whom ate no meat or poultry, they suffer only from only half as much heart disease as others. So we can see a direct connection between meat. The only thing common with these people is that they eat a lot of meat. You know. And in Japan, where they consume more of seafood, there's less. Japan, where very little animal fat is eaten, there are fewer deaths from heart disease than in any other industrialized nation. So the problem that people suffer is of their heart arteries being clogged. There is a medical term called as atherosclerosis. It is clogged with trans fatty acids, cholesterol, you know, and like that, and saturated fats. It clogs the arteries. And why is it happening? So the scientists have done a little research and they found that because human beings were never meant to be carnivorous. There are three kinds of animals. One is a carnivore who eats meat. One is a herbivore who eats plants. And third is an omnivore who can eat plants as well as meat. And when they analyzed the human body, they found out that the human body has intestines which are about 10 to 12 times the length of their torso, which is similar to the length of the intestines which herbivorous animals have. Carnivorous animals have the intestines about 3 to 5 times the torso. Now why is it that? Why is it like that? Because carnivores, they eat meat and meat tends to rot fast and therefore the meat has to be thrown out of the body very quickly. So therefore they have a shorter intestines. Now what happens when humans eat it? We can see so many problems. because the meat is rotting in the intestines and it's releasing many toxins and so many problems. And also, scientists say that the humans are not meant to be eating meat. It's herbivores, because if you see our jaws, how does it move? Our jaws move like this. It's chewing and grinding motion. Whereas if you analyze the jaws of carnivores, it moves up and down. Just bite and swallow, bite and swallow, bite and swallow. So if your jaws are moving like this, then you are a herbivorous. So it's like that. Moreover, we don't have claws. And we don't have those long, sharp teeth. We have short, blunt teeth, which is typical of herbivorous animals. So persons eating animal protein had higher levels of cholesterol in their blood than those fed a diet containing primarily vegetable protein. So the scientists have found out that a vegetarian diet can prevent 90 to 97% of heart disease. It can prevent. That means a vegetable diet reverses the process of heart disease. So people who regularly consumed large amounts of vegetables, especially in the cabbage family, had lower than expected rates of the colon and rectum cancer. Eating too much meat causes constipation. You know why they say an apple a day keeps doctors away? It's because of that. You get enough fibers to clear. You don't need help of a doctor to go and attend the call of nature. How can you be free when you need the help of a doctor to... People want to be free. To do whatever they want. Eating meat, and they take help of doctors for such simple basic activities. Now, another problem, as I was speaking about the problem of cholesterol and trans fatty acids, there is another problem of animal protein. Now, what is the problem of animal protein is that when we consume animal protein, it is analyzed by the scientists that it immediately makes the blood acidic. Now, when the blood becomes acidic, the body has to neutralize it, otherwise you die. Now, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is the body has found out a way to neutralize the acid. How does it do that? Through phosphates. It takes out the phosphate. Now, where do you get phosphate from? It comes from the bones. Now, in the bone, the phosphate is bonded with calcium. So, the body leaches out the phosphate and the calcium from the bones. It uses the phosphate to neutralize the acid and excretes the calcium through the urine. So in the end, we see that there's calcium deficiency. And people thought that eating meat would give us proteins and all those calcium, but ultimately animal protein is causing the deficiency of calcium. No wonder you see the consumption of meat is increasing today. It is increasing, and I have statistics for that. And you find that at the same time there are so many shops which are selling proteins, vitamin tablets, Protein X, Complan, Boost, Horlicks. And we thought that just meat diet was more than sufficient. So people are eating meat and still they need all these food supplements. So it is a propaganda. It is a false propaganda that meat actually gives you the nourishment. It is not necessary. The meat industry masks meat discoloration by adding nitrites, phosphates and other preservatives. Now, other problem is people put these preservatives and they put these coloring agents which makes the meat look red and fresh. But, it is said, I wouldn't feed nitrate-laden foods even to my cat. This was spoken by Dr. William Lijinsky, who is a cancer researcher at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. He says these nitrites and phosphates are so dangerous that they are the major causes of cancer. And they put it in the meat and people are eating that. Now in UK, a few years ago, there was a major calamity. The cows in the slaughterhouses developed a disease called as BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Now what is that? In common terms, it is called as the mad cow disease. How was this disease caused? And what are the symptoms of the disease? The cows could not get up. They just couldn't get up on their feet. And anybody who ate that meat also developed the same kind of symptoms and even worse. It caused holes in the brains of the cows and all those people who ate the meat of those cows. Major, major problem, causing death of so many people in the UK and all over the world. Why did this happen? Because, now, cows are herbivorous animals. They eat plants. But in these slaughterhouses, they were feeding the cows the manure of pigs and chicken mixed with the ground of flesh and meat of diseased horses and goats and pigs and dead cows' bone powder mixed with their food to make them fat and plump so that they can give more milk and better flesh. So eating this kind of food, they develop this kind of disease. So should we call it mad cow disease or should we call it the mad man disease? It is not the cow's fault. So there's an interesting statistics also that meat causes world starvation. Now if you use 1 acre of land for vegetables, you may get somewhere around 269 pounds of protein, usable protein. One pound is approximately half a kilo. Now if you use that vegetables or plants and you feed it to animals and make people eat the animal's flesh, then the protein that you will get out of that would be somewhere around 43 pounds only. That means it is a gross wastage of land. It is inefficient because what are the people doing? The people are feeding the food that we eat. Vegetarians eat the corn, the oats, the wheat and soy. These are the food which we eat. They feed it to the animals. And the animals are eating the cow, the corn, the oats, the wheat and soy. And the people eat the meat. So the nutrients of coming from these foods is going through the body of the animals. So what they're essentially doing is filtering the nutrients through the body of the animals. So therefore, instead of eating it directly, which is far more efficient, they're eating it, eating the flesh, which is causing the major problems. You see, it's not efficient. Therefore, when you say maybe 1,000 acres of land for soya, maybe, and rice, corn, and wheat, then what do you get? You get 1,124 units of protein from soya. For rice, you get 938 units of protein. Corn, you get 1,009. Wheat, you get 1,043 units. And if you would have use it for animal protein, then you get a mere 125 units of protein. Pounds of protein, sorry, these are all in pounds. Only 125 as compared to 1,124 coming pounds of protein coming from soya. That is how inefficient use of land it is to use it for animal production. And guess how much of it is being used in animal meat production? 65% of the world's grains, as I said, corns, oats, wheat and soy is being set aside every year to feed 53 billion land animals that were killed every year on this planet. 65% of the world's grains to feed the 53 billion land animals. How much is 1 billion? 1 billion is 53 billion is 53 into 10 raised to 9. Am I correct? 53 into 10 raised to 9. That many animals are killed yearly. Yeah. And for what? Why do people eat meat? It has been analyzed by scientists basically for four reasons. Habit, tradition, convenience, and taste. Basically four reasons why people eat meat. And it is found out that if we reduce meat production by just 10%, just 10%, it would release enough grains to feed 60 million people. There would be no starvation problem in this world. And how much land are we occupying today for production of meat? 26% of the Earth's ice-free terrestrial surface is being used for meat production. And feed crop production uses about one-third of all arable land. So we can see that how much gross underutilization of agricultural land is taking place. Now, you'll be surprised to know that the meat industry is one of the largest, greatest polluting industry. It is responsible for no less than 18% of the emission of greenhouse gases generated by human activity, which is more than all forms of transportation combined. Why? Because meat needs refrigeration. It needs transportation to various places, various meat shops all over the place. Therefore, you know, the vehicles have to drive very far away places. There's a lot of consumption of electricity and petrol and a lot of wastage of water. Because so many billions of animals, there's so much of runoff of their manure, which again contaminates groundwater, contaminates crops, and causes other forms of diseases. A lot of water consumption also in the meat industry. That's why we find also it one of the causes of droughts and shortage of water is because of the meat industry. And people may say, but meat is important because it gives us protein. We need proteins, a lot of proteins. How much protein do we need? 150 grams per day? But you see, now the scientists are saying that we don't need 150 grams of protein every day. No, actual daily need for protein is only 30 to 45 grams per day. Scientists have changed. Scientists always change. Somebody was saying that there's no need to follow, there's no need to chase a bus, and there's no need to chase a girl, because after one has gone, another is coming. And a theory is also like that. Scientific theories are also like that. They just keep... It's a joke, people. Correct. So theories are also like that. After one has come, it will go, and another one will come, and it will go. These theories keep changing. So, but anyway, they say that now we need only 30 to 45 grams of protein a day. We don't need that much protein. And in fact, if you consume extra protein, the body cannot store the protein. The body has to throw it out. And therefore, there's an extra burden on the organs, which leads to, again, kidney failures and organ failures. Because the protein cannot be stored in the body, just like fat is stored in the body. You see. So whatever you need, the protein requirement is there in the pulses, in the lentils, in the dal, in soy, in wheat, in cashew nuts. You get all the proteins that you need. Nobody needs to eat meat to get the proteins. It's there in the milk. But you must be careful which milk, because there could be more violence in a glass of milk than actually on a plate of meat. Because, especially when you get these cheese cubes from abroad, you know, they're coming from places where from slaughterhouses, because 80-90% of the cows which are raised for milk are sent to the slaughterhouses after they finish giving milk. So that means buying milk from such places or eating cheese or milk products from places where the cows are not treated properly is supporting their cruelty to animals. Moreover, in slaughterhouses, how do they take out milk? They don't take out with the hand. You know, in the advanced countries, what they do is they use these machines and they stick it to the udder of the cow, and the machine just sucks it out. And because of that, again, putting all those machines, the udders become infected. There's pus formation, and then for pus formation, they have to give injections, which again contaminates the blood, which comes out in the form of milk. And they give hormone injections so that they ensure that the cows give more and more milk. And then what happens there? But they say, no, but then there's pus. And if you see the standard for milk is that they don't use this word pus in milk. They use semantic cell count. Because nobody, in the trade journals, because if you read pus, people don't like read pus. So they change the term, somatic cell count. Oh, what is it? Maybe something. And they permit one drop of pus, eyedropper pus in one glass of milk. That's permitted. How many of you would like one drop of pus in your glass of milk? One drop, only one drop. Not bad. But people say, but it's pasteurization. But the milk is pasteurized, no problem. But it is pasteurization, it is not filtration. Pasteurization is a process of sanitation. It is not the process of removal. It's not a removal process. It's a sanitation process. It is sanitized pus. So it's all right. No problem. That's what is going on. Therefore, even in our temple, we don't take milk from anywhere else but places where we ensure that the cows are treated properly. So we don't need that much protein and vitamins from, we don't need to eat meat. In fact, if you see nature, an elephant is so powerful, it's so strong, it maintains its big body. What does it eat? Meat? No, it eats grass. What about a camel? It can go for months together without water. In the desert, what does it eat? It eats cactus. And all this stress about, oh, protein, we need to eat this, we need Complan, we need Horlicks, we need Boost, we need these vitamin tablets. It's a facade, it's all advertising. We're all being brainwashed, we're being programmed to think that if we don't eat these things, we'll become weak. Even parents say, if your son doesn't eat mutton, then how will you? Hare Krishna, that is what is happening outside, the brainwashing people, to think that if you don't eat these things, you'll become weak. In fact, our Shastra explains, Ayurveda says that it is not the vitamins which you need, it is the digestive fire. If your digestion is strong, then what you eat can be digested. The problem is that people are not able to digest their foods. Many people have digestion problems. And therefore, even though you may eat, it can weaken you. Ayurveda says that food does not necessarily strengthen you. Food can even weaken you. Because if your food is not digested, the food that you put has to be excreted. And for excretion, the body needs power, needs energy. It will take the stored up power. So therefore, the digestion has to be made strong. How can the digestion be made strong? Not by sitting on the sofa and sitting in front of the television and with your remote control. Just, you know, people's lifestyle has changed so much. They don't do any physical work. They don't engage in sports. And if you see, you know, lifestyle has changed so much. There's laptops, computers, tablets, and people don't like to go out anymore. They just sit on their mobile phones and playing games. And all games are available on tablets. You want to play football? Yes, it's a tablet. You want to play cricket? Yes, it's on a tablet. You want to play what? Every game is available on a tablet. Why to move the body? It's just on the fingers. So you don't need it. And therefore, there's no physical exercise. There's no digestion. And therefore, it's all this weakness. So, if you want a strong body, there are so many examples. In fact, there are so many bodybuilders who actually are vegetarians. It is a proof that you don't need even human beings. Some people may say, okay, elephants are animals. Maybe they have a way of getting their nutrients from grass. Prabhupada gives an example of a cow. What does a cow eat? A cow eats grass and it gives milk which is full of vitamins and proteins. So here, this one, this lady, Menaka Gandhi, she's animal rights, she works for animal rights, and she's made a good analysis, and she says that 73 million cows are slaughtered per year in India. They can give 100 million tons of dung per year, which is rupees 5,000 crores worth. That saves 50 million tons of firewood. 7.3 million tractors, which costs about 2.5 lakhs per tractor, would save around 180,000 crores. If these cows, 73 million cows were saved, if they were not slaughtered. And also all the diesel that is used for all these tractors, which is a cost saving of another 57,000 crores. So keeping a cow is so beneficial. Cows do need to be slaughtered. And India is, you know, we can see it is increasing so much. Unfortunate actually. Because cow, even if it stops giving milk, it gives dung. And that can be used as fuel. You don't need gas. India holds more vegetarians than the rest of the world combined. It's good. Hindus are known to be vegetarians. That's good news. But the next statistics is interesting. The government, that is center's pink revolution. What is the pink revolution? Just like green revolution. The effort of the government to increase plant production, grain production. This pink revolution is the effort of the government to raise the meat exports and meat production. The government, Indian government has worked for it and to promote meat production, and export has led to a 44% increase in meat consumption and export in 4 years. India became the world's top exporter of beef in 2012, last year. Meat from registered slaughterhouses increased from 5.57 lakh tons in 2008 to 8.05 lakh tons in 2011. Export earnings from bovine, that is beef and cattle meat, expected to touch rupees 18,000 crore in 2012 and 2013. Times of India article. You can read it. So we see where India is going. Prabhupada said, Indians have the culture. They are this close to Krishna. Westerners don't have culture, Vedic culture, they're that far away. But you see, now the statistics is showing that in the West, people are realizing the harmful effects of meat eating. They're giving up. In fact, in the Europe, meat eating has declined by 12%. And in India, meat eating has increased by 44%. So therefore, Prabhupada says, Indians are so close to Krishna, Westerners are so far away from Krishna. But the problem is, Indians have turned their face away from Krishna and going away. Westerners are turning their face towards Krishna and they're coming towards us. And this is the proof. How so much of exports? In fact, there are only two states, Bengal and Kerala, where animal slaughter, cow slaughter is allowed. It's because there are many illegal slaughterhouses. And this Menaka Gandhi, she makes a nice analysis and she does a research and she says that in Uttar Pradesh, Rampur, Ghaziabad, Moradabad, Aligarh, Agra, there are thousands of cows are brought in daily for slaughter. Illegally, illegal slaughter is going on. In Rajasthan, Mewat is a place where a lot of slaughter is going on. Rajasthan, Gujarat, Porbandar, Daman and Diu, these are the places. From Rajasthan, all those cows are brought here. From Maharashtra, all over Maharashtra, cows are illegally transported in trucks and taken to Dionar, Navi Mumbai, where I go to preach, unfortunately. That place is there. My going there is not unfortunate. Unfortunate is that the slaughterhouse is there. Odisha and Bihar, from these two places, cows are transported to West Bengal and Bangladesh. About 1 lakh tons of beef export is taking place from there. Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, from all these places, cows are being transported to Kerala for being slaughtered. Delhi has 11,000 illegal slaughterhouses where 2 lakh cows are slaughtered per day, coming from Haryana. So truly, as it is said by Leonardo da Vinci, says, truly, man is the king of beasts, for his brutality exceeds them. We live by the death of others, we are burial places. I have since an early age abjured the use of meat. Man has become so cruel. Another reason why we should not be eating meat, Shastra says, is cruelty. What people don't see is the cruelty that is involved in the slaughterhouses. Now, we are living in a society where all these things are going on and people don't like to see. In fact, people don't know what's going on. Yeah, people are not shown these photographs. Therefore, some people say that if slaughterhouses, Paul McCartney, I think he was, who says that if slaughterhouses had glass doors, the world would be a vegetarian. The world would be a vegetarian. The cruelty that is involved. But all we see is this. Wonderfully advertised. So people don't want us to see. The fact is hidden from us. What have the animals done to us that we involve in such violence? the animals don't get to experience a drop of human compassion and love. Humans boast of knowing what is right from wrong. And in fact, people are sent to the gallows for slaughter because they've done some big crime. But what crime have the animals done? Have they attacked us? Have they violated our rights? Have they taken our food? What have they done? But we send them to the slaughterhouses to be ruthlessly killed. But people don't want us to know about these things. These things are concealed. And therefore, this is another tactics, an advertising tactics for people not to know the facts. The Shastra says that there is a problem with it. With every murder, there is a reaction. The law of karma. We have to be careful. In fact, every meat eating is... No religion mandates meat eating. Whether it is Hinduism or whether it is Christianity or it is Islam. In fact, what is in Sanskrit meat called? It's called mamsa. What is the meaning of mamsa? Mamsa comes from two words. Mam, which means me. Saha, which means he. When a person is cutting the throat of an animal, he chants this mantra. When he says mams, it means that he is willing to suffer the pain he is inflicting on this animal in another life. Mam saha. We will exchange positions. Now for my tongue, for my taste buds, I am killing you, but in my next life we will exchange the position. No religion mandates meat eating. Christianity, if you see, four most famous words, most important words, but the most neglected words in human history. Thou shalt not kill. There's no asterisk there, you know, saying that. No, but those, maybe with furs, if those who are with furs, they can be killed. With teeth, with horns, they can be killed. Maybe with fins, they can be killed. No, thou shalt not kill. It's an open statement. Thou shalt not kill. Do unto others as thou would do unto thyself. Obviously, the animals qualify as others. But no, they don't. In fact, I was speaking with one person when I was chanting my rounds in a train, and one Christian preacher, he came to me and he said, "What are you doing?" I was chanting my rounds. And I said, I'm chanting God's names. He said, "Is it? Oh. Do you think that by chanting these names you can go to God? You can go to heaven?" I said, "Do you eat meat?" He said, "Yes." "Why do you eat meat when the Bible says, thou shalt not eat meat? Do you think you'll go to heaven by disobeying this commandment?" He says, "No! It is for human beings. Thou shalt not murder, it is not thou shalt not kill." Now you see how conveniently people don't somehow attribute mercy or this thing to animals. Somehow they don't. Why? Why is it like that? I mean, if you analyze, it doesn't make sense. You know, they somehow believe that, you know, the animals can use their eyes to see, they can use their ears to hear, they can use their nose to smell, their tongue to taste, their legs to walk, but they can't use their brain to think. They can't use their brain to experience pain. They can't use their brain to be aware. They want us to believe that every part of the body of the animal does its function properly except the brain. They can't think. They have no experience. They feel nothing. So there's no logic to it. Probably they think that the animals have no soul. Therefore they can be killed. So you see the problem. So human beings have been experiencing atrocities by way of casteism. You know, there were sections of the society, higher classes of people who thought that they were better off. A section of the society who thought they are better off and they can exploit the others. Then there was this racism where certain colored skin people thought that they were better off and they could exploit the others, be cruel to the others. So there is sexism, where one particular sex thought that the other sex is not as good or lower. So we have so many problems in society, sexism, casteism and racism. Now there's another thing called as speciesism, where one species thinks that he is better than the other species. It's just like that. and we are subjecting the same atrocities to those innocent animals who share the planet with us. It just doesn't make sense. And people do harm to these animals in the name of freedom. Is this freedom? To inflict violence upon others? So following these principles of no meat eating is actually not, it is not freedom. It is violence actually. And therefore people ask, why are there so many problems in the society? Is there a connection between meat and the problems in the society? Like wars and crime and violence? Yes, there is a connection. What is that? The law of karma. We are reaping the results of bad karma. So we have to realize that we need to show a compassion to all living beings. Krishna says in the Gita, Mamaivam shujiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha, that all souls, they're all souls, animals are also souls, and they're all my parts and parcels. One has to be kind to all living beings. And therefore, people need to reconnect with animals. Those were the times when people would, you know, we would be in such awe of animals as children. You know, everybody loved animals, going to the parks and seeing, going to the zoos. But somehow people have lost their connection with animals. In fact, today people rarely see animals. Only all they see is dogs and cats, which they don't eat. If you ask somebody, where do you get doodh, kahan se aata hai? Woh doodh wala bhaiya deta hai. Me personally, I was born and brought up in Bombay, Santa Cruz. When I went to my native place, my auntie told me, I will give you fresh cow milk from our tabela. We had cows. So I went, I said, I want to see. I went and I saw that they were taking out milk from the cow. I had never seen it in my life. I was very young. And I said, I'm not going to drink this milk. So why? I said, I only drink packet milk. I actually said it when I was young because I did not know where milk came from. But then people need to reconnect. You know, and therefore this program, even in Wada we have so many cows where people need to come, you know, and see and play with them and realize that they're also having feelings, they have everything. They're so similar to human beings in one sense. So therefore we need to reconnect with the animals. Yeah? And therefore it is said, you know, if animals would make a religion, they would make human beings as a devil. King of the beasts. What are we doing basically? You know, we used to hear about Sheikh Chilli. Sheikh Chilli would sit on a branch and cut that branch on which he was sitting. That's exactly what we are doing in the name of freedom. What we are doing, we are destroying our planet. We are causing the greatest harm. So I have this short video, which is a very instructive video, that how one should be kind to others, because what goes out comes back. This is a law of karma.
Sometimes I lay under the moon, I thank God I'm breathing, and I pray don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for.
Hare Krishna. So there's a saying, what goes around comes around. It's like a boomerang. You throw a boomerang, it comes back and hits you. So therefore people don't understand that actually how important it is to follow these basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Because people get caught up in the cycle of karma. Process is, when you follow these principles, you become free. Free from what? Freedom from the cycle of birth and death. But karma actually binds you to the cycle of birth and death. So real freedom is actually when you actually follow these principles, which are quite natural and quite compassionate actually, and for everybody. So the next topic is again a little bit controversial, which, as I said, I'm a little uncomfortable speaking with so many elders here, is illicit sex. Now, in the Gita, Krishna says, balam balavatam chaham kama raga vivarjitam dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. That I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So sex is actually sacred because it is Krishna's energy. Krishna himself says that I am sex life. What happens when sex is perverted? We call it illicit sex. So, in 1954, between 1954 and 1963, there was a statistics made, research made to find out how much pre-marriage courtship was there. They found out it was 11%. Only 11% actually waited for engaging in sex before marriage. And in 1994, it is very less. You can see it's only 3%. Researchers have found that there is 22% higher relationship stability, 20% higher satisfaction, and 12% better communication when people have not had pre-marriage courtships. In the Vedic style was that the first time boys and girls would meet, that would be the first time they would engage in that activity. So science also, research has also shown that when this principle is followed, there is greater relationship stability, higher satisfaction, and better communication. Why do you think people are having so many troubles in married life? You know, somebody sent me an SMS on my mobile phone. Somebody, do you have a power cable? Power cable? For Mac? Yeah. Yeah. So, somebody sent me a message on my thing. Somebody told, kisi ne bola pati ko, are dekh, tere patni ko koi saap kaat raha hai. So husband said, वो किसी को काट के आया है, उसका जहर खत्म हो गया है, रिचार्ज करने आया है. So many problems in married life. So, there is also a very interesting research which showed that the teenagers who scored higher on the intelligence test consistently reported a much lower level of sexual activity. So, the scientists have analyzed that the chemicals which make up the brain also go to make up the body fluid, semen. So when one loses the important body fluid, then one loses one's brain substance. There's a direct connection. And this is the proof. 12,000 students were actually researched. were actually asked and they revealed, and the statistics has, and we see that even in history there have been great philosophers like Greek philosopher and scientist Aristotle. They all believed in, all these great scientists believed in continence, brahmacharya as we call it in our tradition. Many have been there, like Pythagoras, Plato, Kant, Leibniz, German rationalist, philosopher, mathematician and logician, Spinoza, he's a Dutch philosopher, Leonardo da Vinci, Italian painter, scientist and engineer, Michelangelo, Italian sculptor and painter, Isaac Newton, English mathematician, Beethoven, German composer. So all these great philosophers have been brahmacharis. They believed in continence, preservation of the body fluids. So that, therefore in Shastra it is said, urdhvareta. Urdhvareta means when you conserve the body fluid, it goes up to the brain and nourishes the brain. Before 1900s, old age was associated with wisdom. Wisdom. In 2013, old age is associated with forgetfulness, loss of memory. Ever wondered why? Could be one of the reasons. Other problem of not following this principle of illicit sex basically is abortion. It is seen that it is steadily increasing every year. In India, in 1972, there were around 24,300 cases. In 2012, per year, that is 25,29,979 cases of abortions. And these are just the reported cases. The unreported cases are many, much more. Other problem of not following principle is, of illicit sex is abandoned children. If the children are not killed in the womb, then they are abandoned. And children don't get love, they don't get affection, they don't get the right guidance. They go to become criminals, they go to become drug addicts, alcoholics, so many problems. This is a short video which I came across as to what psychological impact parents can have on their children. This mother is taking the child and she leaves the child for 1 minute, and what happens in 1 minute?
This is how your child feels after losing you for a minute. Just imagine if they lost you for life.
So basically we can see the effect that parents can have on the children. If they are abandoned by their parents, if they are not there to give them love and affection, if the children feel that they are not wanted, what will happen to them? It's a psychological havoc that they have to experience. It's most big cruelty to them. So, other problem is so many diseases are coming up in the society. Diseases which cannot be cured by medicines. Once you get it, it's there for life. Viruses which are there, which go below the skin and stays there. No amount of medicines work. It even comes, they're called as diseases, sexually transmitted diseases. They can even come in the fingers. Now I understand why in the Vedic tradition they do namaste. Who knows, somebody may be having some infection in the hands. The virus can go into the brain also. It goes to the brain and stays there. How many people are suffering from these diseases? Now, I had came across the statistics. Just in the US, I'm just taking an example. There's a lot to learn from them, but there's many things which we should not be learning also. Now, this is a list of all these diseases: chlamydia, trichomoniasis, gonorrhea, genital warts, genital herpes, hepatitis B, syphilis, HIV. How many people are suffering from this? 4 crore suffering from this. That's a lot, so many people. So if you summarize, you see that 17% of the population is affected by this, which means that 2 out of 20 people approximately is having this problem. Yeah? How much is that? 2 out of 10. 2 out of 10 is having that problem. Yeah. And most of them, around 2 out of 10 of those diseased people are adolescents between the age of 13 and 18. In numbers, if you see, it is, how much is that? 45 million. Yeah, that is that many number of people are suffering from the diseases. Interesting research is that 1 out of 5 people wait until marriage until in highly religious groups, which means that they found out, discovered that those people who are connected with some form of religion, they can better resist the temptation of indulging in illicit activity. Another problem of illicit activity is that identification with the body. Shastra says that sense gratification welds the soul to the body. The soul becomes more aware of the problems if he takes the happiness coming from the body. What is the body? If you take out the skin of the body, you'll understand. It's like a biological laboratory. If you go, what do you see? Muscles. It's like a machine. The body is nothing but a machine. The soul resides in the body. And the soul identifies with the body. And sense gratification glues his consciousness to the body, and he becomes more conscious of the sufferings coming to the body. Thirdly is intoxication. How big is this industry? 321.6 billion. That's how big it is. So many addictions. If you ask people, do you drink? I drink. But I am in control. Peeta hoon magar ek hi peg. Every day only one peg. But what happens? 1 month he drinks one peg, and after that chadti nahi hai, they say. They have to drink 2 pegs. It has to increase, otherwise you don't feel the kick. That is how the mind is. It is never satisfied. And if you ask any alcoholic, they will not tell you that. If you ask him, what did you want to become in life? They will not say that, I wanted to become an alcoholic. Nobody decides to become an alcoholic, but everybody ends up becoming one. Most of them, many people become, actually. This is the nature of addiction. Draws you in. How many alcoholics are there in America, if you just take an example? We are doing a study of America, leading country. There is an estimated 8 million known alcoholics in America. 8 million. The number of alcoholics is increasing by 4,50,000 each year. 75% of all crimes and 60% of all divorces have drinking in their background. 50% of all traffic deaths are caused by drivers who had been drinking. This is according to the National Safety Council. 20,000 persons die and 4 lakh people are injured annually in accidents caused by drinking drivers. That's how much it is. 20,000 people are dying in accidents. The place where I go to preach in Vashi, there was this accident which took place.
कारणतून पास तरुण वाशीहून पुण्याकडे निघाले होते आणि त्याच वेळेला पाम बीच मार्गावर किल्ला गावठाण सिग्नल जवळ रस्ता ओलांडणाऱ्या ट्रेलरच्या खालती कार गेली. कारचा वेग एवढा जबरदस्त होता की गाडी कंट्रोल झाली नाही आणि सरळ ट्रेलरच्या खालून पलीकडे निघाली. किल्लेगावठाण सिग्नलवर पालिकेनं बसवलेल्या सीसीटीव्हीमध्ये या अपघाताची दृश्य कैद झाले. ट्रेलर आणि फोर्ड कार मध्ये झालेल्या अपघातात तीन
लोकांचा हाउ मेनी पीपल आर डाईंग इन रोड ऍक्सिडेंट्स. Where I go to preach in the congregation, one lady, she also shared that her son died in a car accident. This is another one example in Russia. This took place. So this is a case which took place again in American Defense Forces somewhere in 1980s or some, I don't remember the year, in one aircraft carrier Nimitz, one aircraft called as some CVAN-68, this, it came in, it landed on this aircraft carrier and it went and crashed, it veered towards the aircrafts which were parked on that carrier. There was a huge accident. And they found out that the pilots and many of the people who were involved, they were drunk. They were on drugs. So not just car accidents, but even plane accidents are taking place because of alcohol. Also in the alcohol category comes tea, coffee, which the Britishers called as cash crops. Cash crops means they don't have any nutritional value, but they only got one purpose, to make money for those who produce it. Acres and acres of land is used for cultivating tea and coffee. A lot of water is used, a lot of land wastage is there. And what happens by this is, in India where starvation, poverty is a problem, the local people suffer because of starvation. And when this tea and coffee is exported to those places, people drinking tea and coffee, they die because of that. So these cash crops are causing problem where it is grown and to where it is exported. Then smoking. 1,30,000 deaths will occur during the year as a result of cancer associated with smoking. In fact, today everybody is smoking. So common these days to find, even in India. One man, he was telling about his son, "Dekho, mera beta kitna achha, talented hai, dekho. Apne naak se bhi wo dhua nikalta hai. Arre, dekho, mera beta itna talented hai, apne kaan se bhi dhua nikalta hai. Arre, dekho, mera beta itna talented hai, ki apne muh se bhi gol gol dhua nikalta hai." So the other person said, "Ruk ja, jab mar jayega, jab iski chita jalegi to pure sharir se dhua niklega." Everybody thinks that they can do it, though everybody knows that it is not good for them. And when it comes to advising others also, they advise that we should not do this, but they do it. That's why whenever we give a talk or something, you know, we say don't do these things. Bachchon ko kaise mata pita ka sunna chahiye. And if, in case in the audience, if there are some children with their parents, parents will look at the children and say, "Dekho, sunna chahiye. Dekho kya bol rahe." And then after that, we make a statement that how parents should give, set a good example. Then children will look at the parents to say, "Dekho, sunna chahiye." Somehow nobody thinks about themselves. The message has been given for us. And this is a short documentary, if you have time, you can see it. This experiment was conducted in Thailand. So this instruction is for all of us. Therefore Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see. And the last is gambling. It's a big industry. Yeah. Gambling money equals $1 trillion annually. This is just in the West, you can see that. Legal gambling totals more than $24 billion a year. So certainly India is following the West. Eventually India gambling also is increasing like anything. So we can see that even people who are compulsive gamblers, it's also an addiction. Just like meat eating is an addiction, alcohol is an addiction, gambling is also an addiction. And when people become addicted, their family suffers. They become callous towards the responsibilities of the house, and they're spending all their money, they're in debt, they get into other bad habits. So it's a big loss actually for the family. And people get into other bad things, and they abuse their family members. They develop a contempt for life. In one hospital in America, they had got into this gambling, betting. They started betting. They went to such an extent that the people started betting that who will die faster amongst those terminally ill patients. Bettings was made. And one nurse, in order to make somebody win, she went and removed the oxygen tubes of many patients, and many deaths occurred like that. So gambling, we end up abusing children. You know, people drink, they come, they abuse their children, they beat up their wives, they beat up the children, and a lot of problems. It is because they become irritable. They think that quick money, I will get quick money. I don't have to work very hard. Just this lottery, just this, kaun banega karopati, and I will go become all these. This is one documentary which I came across. As to how children see their parents when they are drunk or they are gamblers. How do they see the world? So you see, gambling brings about all other addictions. There is a game called as Russian roulette. It's again a form of gambling. As I said, people lose contempt for life. They don't even care for their own life. So this is a game called as Russian roulette, where two men come together, they keep money on the table, and then they take a revolver, they put one bullet inside, and then they move the cut, they move that cylinder. They don't know where the bullet is. And then each person will be getting one chance to keep the gun on their forehead and pull the trigger. If they don't get shot, then the gun passes on to the other person. Other person also puts it on his temple and shoots. And that way one of them dies, and whoever lives takes the money and he goes. To this extent, people can be engaged in gambling. They risk their very life. to. So this goes against the principle of karma. According to our Shastra, karma means you work, you get. Proportional to your effort that you put, you get the reward. But gambling makes you think that you can get around it. With minimum effort, I will get maximum result. Quick money. Two students are sitting in an examination hall. Both get their question papers. One person does not know anything. So what he does? He copies everything. Question number one, question number two, everything he copies. Person from whom he copied, he comes first. Person who copied fails. How? What is the reason? It's because the question papers were different. Simply put, the question papers are different. In life, we all have different question papers. We all have different backgrounds we are coming from. And therefore, when we see something like Kaun Banega Crorepati, somebody is going there participating and getting a big reward, 1 crore, 2 crores, and we think we'll also take a lottery, we'll also participate and we'll get it, we'll become rich in no time. It is like copying from other people's question papers, answer sheets. Everybody has a different question paper. Everybody has a different stockpile of karma. We don't know what is in store for them. We don't know what is in store for us. It may have worked for them. It may not work for us. So the philosophy behind it is that it takes away enterprising spirit within people. And therefore the government is, though they are doing a lot of advertising and propaganda for increasing gambling, and the government is making a lot of money, but ultimately the citizens have to suffer for it. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says that gambling of all description, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading, and when gambling is encouraged in the state, there is a complete disappearance of truthfulness. So, like that. So therefore, if we have just seen that it is natural to follow these principles. It is not difficult. It is natural. It is welcome to follow these principles. Yeah, but as we have already seen, I am sure that this seminar would have made has given you sufficient encouragement and hope to follow these principles, make you happy following these principles. But ultimately, the real courage to follow the principles will come when we are connected with a higher power, as Srila Prabhupada says, you know, by chanting Hare Krishna. You know, there is a nice story. One man goes to a sadhu and he says, साधु महाराज, हम बहुत सुनते हैं, बहुत सुना करते हैं कि ये करो, वो करो, वो करो, बट वी आर नॉट एबल टू डू इट, पालन नहीं कर पाते, क्या करें? कैन यू टेल मी अ सोल्यूशन, हाउ टू गेट द करेज टू फॉलो दिस प्रिंसिपल्स? सो द साधु सेज, कम हियर, गो स्टैंड देयर, ऑल राइट, ओके, रेज योर हैंड्स, वन हैंड रेज, वन बोथ हैंड्स ही रेज, नाउ यू रेज वन लेग. So he raises one leg. And he says, now you raise the other leg also. That man looks at the sadhu and says, come on, what are you saying? How can I raise that other leg? You can't. Can you? He says, no, I can't. It's not possible. All right, now you do one thing. Look up. And he looks up. And he finds one branch of the tree, banyan tree, is coming down. He says, now with your both hands, hold it. And he holds. He says, now raise your other leg also. Can you do it? He says, yes. So you can rise above only when you get a grip of something on the top. Similarly, Prabhupada said, and Krishna says in the Gita, raso varjam rasopyascha param drishtva nivartate, that when you get a higher taste, a higher spiritual taste, one gets the power to reject those things which are lowly. Like for example, if a person is eating chapatis, sukha chapatis, he is very hungry, he is eating. If you tell him, give it up, he will say, get lost. But if somebody is eating chapati, sukha chapati, you go with hot parathas, with ghee, sabji, achar, dahi, and you say, now you take this, give that up. He will welcome it, he will take the paratha and he will give that up. Similarly, when you get a higher taste, and how will that come? Therefore Krishna says, Krishna in effect he says, Arjun, do what I say. Somebody was asked, what is the best verse you like in the Gita? pastures. I like when Krishna tells Arjuna, Yat ichchasi tatha kuru. Do whatever you want. And therefore I am following Gita, where Krishna says, do whatever you want. I am doing whatever I want and I am following Gita. But Krishna also tells Arjuna that if you do not follow what I am saying, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknosi mai sthiram. Yeah, he says, what is that verse? Vachitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi atha chittvam ahankaram na shroshasi vidangshasi. That if you do not do as I say, if you choose to do what you feel is right out of your ego, then you will be meeting with destruction. You will meet with defeat. Therefore do as I say and you will be benefited. So the choices, the consequences of not following Krishna's instruction has also been given by Krishna. Though Krishna does not force anybody to do, he did not force Arjuna, he just gave the choices. The choice was made by Arjuna willingly, out of love, not out of force. And therefore it is important to do out of love. It's not a forced thing. And therefore God is saying, tu wahi karta hai jo tu chahta hai. तू वो करता है जो तू चाहता है मगर होता वही है जो मैं चाहता हूं. तू करता वो है जो तू चाहता है मगर होता वही है जो मैं चाहता हूं. मगर अगर तू करेगा जो मैं चाहता हूं तो वही होगा जो तू चाहता है. So, with that we come to the end of this conclusion, or we conclude this session today. So, quick revision of what we did. We saw that why we are told to follow the four regulative principles. What are the four regulative principles? We saw no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. Why we are told not to follow? Because of health reasons, meat eating causes cancer. For compassion reasons, mercy, meat eating causes starvation, it causes environmental problems, and it is bad karma. Why illicit sex is forbidden? Because it causes a lot of orphans, or we give birth to orphans. There's violence in the society. There are so many diseases which come as a result of that, and finally causes the death of the soul. Why intoxication is forbidden? Because it is also a cause of cancer, accidents, broken families, addictions and starvation. An illusion. And gambling, because it also causes broken families, mafia, laziness and crimes. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, very thankful. We are very thankful to His Grace Akinchan Krishnabhu for such an informative, filled with animated videos to present this very difficult topic, especially for the youth to grasp and apply it. Bound to be free. So we like to express gratitude to Akinchan Krishnabhu for this excellent presentation by loudly chanting
Haribol.
We like to welcome some special guests which we have today. Mr. Chandrakant Mehta, a special executive officer in Don Bosco school constructions. Prabhupada Dev Prabhu from Guyana. And Mr. Kush Panchar, an international yoga teacher. So thank you for coming and gracing this occasion. We'll also like to want to see all the newcomers who have come for this Prerna Festival for the first time. If you can then stand up in their places. All those who have come for the Prerna Festival for the first time, if you can stand up in your places. So thank you all for coming for this Prerna Festival. Let us invite all of them and welcome to our family by loudly chanting Riva! 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 So we have a special gift for you downstairs at the new stall. So please do collect it. And we also have self-excellence seminars arranged for you every Saturday. So you like to attend for that and get more training, please register for you. Please sit down. There are some announcements. You can go next. Yeah. Just this is announcement and then. How do you go? So the IOS Yatra 2013, that is to Jagannath Puri, has already announced, and already 550 boys are coming. So if somebody is missing from you, please do join. The registrations are still open. And there is a mobile app which we have made for IOS events. So this is a web app. Anybody who is having any kind of smartphone, either iPhone or Android, can Samsung can avail of this. This is the address, ios.myapp.name. So this will also be posting on the Facebook profile. If you have your phones, then you can copy this ID into your browser, ios.myapp.name, and then you will get access to, I'll show you a screenshot of that. Like this is how you add to the home screen in the iPhone and in the Android. Add shortcut to your home. Thanks. Once you open the address. This is a new logo which we have made for IOS. Gopinath, nourishing hearts, flourishing lives. So this is the app when you open on your phones. This is the app how you'll see all the different Prerna Youth Festival. All the locations of the bases are there in the map. So anybody new, you want to go to your nearby base, attend a program, you can know where the base is there. So, and also the all the temple IOS events, you can register and get confirmation from there. And all the YouTube, everything is there. The events are all the temple events, IOS events. So, all in one app. And the next Prerna is on June 29th by His Grace Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. So, because now the exams time is there, we have left a little gap. So, we'll be having at the end of June. Topic is not yet decided, but as soon as it is decided, we'll post it on Facebook. And this is the self-excellence seminars which we'll be having every Saturday. So those of you who want to attend can register at the newcomer stall. Thank you. Now we'll take one or two questions if anybody has, and then after that we'll have Kirtan. So I'll pass the mic.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, even though Pandavas were exalted devotees, no doubt they were Kshatriyas. But in gambling, they went to such an extent that they didn't even leave their wife Draupadi. So how will you define this act according to Shastras?
So, your question is not very clear to me. What do you want to ask? That Yudhishthir gambled and he gave his wife also. He lost his wife in a gambling match. So, what's your question?
Even though they were exalted devotees.
So, why did they indulge in gambling match?
Yes.
That's your question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is because Yudhishthir Maharaj had pledged to always follow the instructions of his superiors. And Dhritarashtra had told him that you should play this match, and therefore to obey the instructions of his superiors, he did it.
No, but he went to such an extent that he didn't even.
Yeah, so that is the message which Mahabharata gives, that stay away from gambling. That if Yudhishthir Maharaj, being Dharmaraj, can get caught up into this, then who are you and me? It's very dangerous. So he got caught up. Once he got involved in it, then he couldn't get out. He thought he'll win. But and Kshatriyas, by nature, they can gamble to some extent. That license was there. If they're challenged, they have to accept the challenge for a Kshatriya. Though they can get out, the higher principle is you should not be indulging, but they did. And that was the result, that they lost everything. So thank you for bringing it up. because that is a message that Mahabharata gives, very strong message that do not gamble. Is it clear? Okay, thank you. Any other question anybody has?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, I wanted to ask that, like you told about not to eat meat and all. So I myself is a vegetarian, and like whenever these things comes up to telling friends that not to consume meat, like all the technological, all the practical points are there, as you told, like the human body is not meant to eat flesh. But then they say that even plants have life. So when you pluck a fruit, the plant would feel the pain. So then why do you eat plants? Why we are vegetarian? What should be the correct reason to give to them?
See, first of all, we have to eat something, right? So the least, follow the path of least pain. Live in such a way so that you can, you cause the least pain. And compared to the animals and the plants, they feel the least pain. There's only one species which exists on this planet, which lives and survives without causing pain to anybody. That is the trees. Trees, they just suck the nutrients directly from the soil. They don't cause harm to anybody. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gives the analogy, Trinadapi Sunichena. Why? Because a devotee must be as compassionate as a tree. He should not cause harm to anybody, truly. But we being humans, having a human body, we must survive on something. So therefore we eat. We can even eat meat if there is nothing else to eat. If you are caught up in a desert and you have nothing, maybe there is a goat and you can maybe kill it. But circumstance, it's based on circumstance. If there is nothing to eat, then you have to survive. So therefore, jivo jivasya jivanam. If you live, you have to survive by killing somebody. So it is not, we don't say that simply being vegetarian, be a vegetarian. No, that is also not enough. We are vegetarians because Krishna says that, and we are not just vegetarians, we are Krishnatarians. Because even a goat is a vegetarian. What's so glorious in that? Cow is a vegetarian. So it's not important just to be a vegetarian, but it is important to be a Krishnatarian, which means that we eat vegetables, we offer it to Krishna, and then we eat it. So it is a path of least pain, least violence. That's all I would like to say. Okay?
Again, thank Kinjan Krishapu for such a wonderful class by loudly chanting. Last part, the kirtan, holding on to the higher power. So please hold on by raising your hands and dancing enthusiastically.